Avodah Zarah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Beis. This Mishnah is really a hemshich of Mishnah Yud Aleph, and it's talking about the level of Shmira that one has to have wine that's owned by a Yid, that's put in the Rishus of a Goy. How much Shmira do you need to be considered satisfying that Chazal wouldn't be Goyzer on it al Stam Yenim? To what point are we Choshish? Remember, the whole din of Stam Yenim is the Rabbana. So Shaz, how much were Chazal Goyzer? Hamatar Yenoi Shalovi Kechovim V'noisnim B'shusoi. What he did was, we had this idea in the beginning of Mishnah Yud Aleph, he made the wine, he took the grapes of a Goy, and he made the wine in order to produce Yiddish wine. This could be done by any winery where there's a run of kosher wine. So the grapes itself, the Goyim could pick in the vineyards in California, whatever it is, but the work on producing the wine, obviously, you need to be done by Yidden. So that's called B'loshon Chazal, Mitar Yenei Shel Ovid Kechovim. V'noisne B'shusa, he produced the wine, he puts it in the Goy's Rishus, in the Goy's factory, before production, before being sold to Yidden. V'halokos Avloi, the Goy writes to the Yid, he writes him a receipt that says like this. His kabalti mimcha mois, I got from you money, which was payment for the wine. Basically, the wine was produced by grapes that are owned by the goy, and it was produced in the factory of the goy. Obviously, you're going to have to worry about the kelim and the machinery, because everything's soaked through with the yainas. So we're talking about boifin, where everything is kosher, the vats, the barrels, etc., etc. It's all kosher. The wine now is going to be sold to the yid, but meanwhile, it's being stored on site. The goy has the facilities for it. So it's being stored by a goy. How could you trust that it wasn't moved around by the goy? So if he writes him that I got money from you for the wine, that means that the yid is allowed to remove the wine whenever he wants. In that case, mutter, the wine is to be considered as not touched by the goy. This has to be consistent, the Mefarshim explain, together with the tnoyim that I mentioned in Mishnah Yud Aleph. It has to be a bayish pasuch l'shus harabim. It also has to be an ir sheyesh bo Yisraelim. Tnai number three that we have in the Mishnah over here is that the goy can't hold on to it from a choshen mishpat standpoint. The yid already paid for it, and there's a shtar written that says the yid could remove the wine whenever he wants. Aval im yirtzi Yisrael lo tziyoi ve'enim inichoi. If the goy has the wherewithal to stop the yid from taking the wine at his will, and the goy could stop matshiyitun leis moisav because the wine isn't paid for yet, or there's a way they could say, oh, who says you pay me the wine? It has to be verifiable with the authorities. Zeh hoya maisav beishan, there was such a maisav beishan where Rabbeinu HaKadosh lived. V'asru chacham, they paskin that's also. That's considered wine that the goy has more control over. V'ein ha-goy yori lenaschoy. And b'chi ha-gadnu v'goyzim shum yayin esach. This is the way the Rav explains the Mishnah. There's another Shita. It seems that the Rav is getting it from Rashi. Tosfos has a little bit of a Diyukim Shari. He has other kashas, but Mishnah Yalf and Mishnah Bey sounds like two different dinim. The way we just explained it, there are three Tnoim in this din, two of which are Mavur and Mishnah Yalf. It has to be Bais Pesuch L'Shus Rabim. And it has to be also Yesh B'Yisrael. The third Mishnah is Mavur, also the monetary aspects of whether the Yid could take that the wine from the house of the goy. A little bit not kibshuta. It sounds like two different mishnayim. So Rabbeinu Tam learns that what's going on over here is taka two different dinim. In Mishnah Yud Aleph, we're talking about whether goy taka has a monetary claim as a mashkin to the wine. So therefore, what you're going to have to say is the wine is locked up. If the wine is stam open, then it's awesome. Then we're goyzer yayin stam yeinu. If the wine is locked up, but the goy has a monetary claim, so at least you have the yidin that are coming and going, the tnoim that I mentioned in Mishnah Yud Aleph. Mishnah Yud Beis is mefaret that the Yisrael has a right to take the wine whenever he wants. Memela it died bazeh that the wine is not open to the public. It's enough that it's tachas chosim u'mafteach. The fact that it's geographically in the rishus of the goy is not going to be enough for the goy to feel control over it. It's locked up, it's locked away. You don't need memela that should be a bias that has open access to Israel. So a goyish house where the wine is locked up, where there isn't any goyish, the goy doesn't have a right to monetarily hold on to the wine as a mashkin there, you don't have the tanoim in Mishnah Yeral. So there's a kula and a chumra to both shittas. If all you have is open access to Yidin, it's a ish yesh bi Yisraelim, and it's a bias that has pasuch l'shus harabim. If the goy has a monetary claim, the wine needs to be locked up, according to Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rashi, wine will be mutter. The open, easy access from Yidin walking into the house, into the building, is enough. However, what happens when the wine is taka locked up? It's not so easily accessible. It's takas maftech v'choysim. Even the house that's pasuach l'shus harabim, and the Yidin coming and going, is not going to help you if the guy has a monetary claim, according to Rashi and the Rav, that's Mishnah Yud Beis. According to Rabbeinu Tam, v'chiyai gavna will be mutter. Kula and akumra in both directions. Now we're going to start Mishnah Hei. Hasoiches hapoel lasis imoi b'yayin nesach. Somebody hired a worker, this means there's a goy that hired a worker who's a Yisrael to work for him b'yayin nesach. He's pouring the yayin nesach from kli to kli, he's washing out the barrels. He has to be oisik in a direct way with the yayin nesach. And this is a phenomenal chumra over here that the Mishnah says, schorei oser. His esek is with the Ayin Esek, and by the way, over here, they were machme beyond chumra, they were machme even by Stam Yeno, which the goy being menasek is almost no chance. They were goyzer. Of course, this is not just Mishum HaVayd Dizor, but they took the extension Ayin Esek, which they gave a ganzer koyme to, and they assert that even if he's not being nene from the wine, he's getting paid to schlep barrels of wine, but he's considered that he's getting from the Ayin Esek, and that the Isser of being nene from the Ayin Esek is nitvas in the pay, and his paycheck is awesome. The goy hired him in the factory to do other jobs. One example that's brought down is to transport not wine, but beer from place to place. It's a factory, it has wine, it has beer. And he says to him that he's going to pay him by the barrel. The Gemara speaks out. What it means is that he's getting paid per barrel. And b'toich ha'dvarim, he also grabbed the sticks in to carry for him a barrel of the yayin nesach. So there the halach is at schorei mutter. What's the pshat? He did get paid for schlepping a barrel of wine. So the way it comes out from the Gemara and the Mefarshin is that the deal was that he gets paid a pruta for each barrel that he's schlepping. He schlepped 100 barrels, he gets paid 100 prutas. There would be a mokum to say, since there's yayin nesach mixed into the whole thing should be also. That the Mishnah is coming lafuke and says that his chai is mutter. However, he does have to take one pruta if he schlepped one barrel of yayin nesach and throw it out. The chiddush is that the rest of it, or the clarification of it, is that the rest of the pay doesn't become also. That's the din. Also, the way the Gemara is medayik, take a look at the Tosis Yom Tov, is that shtei do only when he told him, that's the way it's mavur in a brisa, one barrel, one pruta. What happens if you made up lechatchila? There's a pile lying against the wall, there's 100 barrels, and he told him, I'm paying you 100 prutas for 100 barrels. He's not paying him one for one, he's paying him for the whole lot. If he schleps 50, he doesn't get paid. So he has to schlep the whole 100. If one of the 100 is yayin nesach, haray, part of the job description is schlepping yayin nesach. The whole schar is awesome. So that part is also a tremendous chiddush. Even though 99 out of the 100 schlepperais weren't of barrels of yayin nesach, but the whole job description included yayin nesach, the whole thing will be awesome. Rishonim add, you have to say that b'chi hai gavna doesn't help to take a pruta from the 100 coins that he got and throw it out. Because we look at the whole 100 coins as being a job description of schlepping Ayin Esach. That's a very big chumra over here. Hasoiches hachamor lohavi olea Ayin Esach schora also. Not only when he himself is schlepping, but when he borrowed from him a chamor. The stomach today would be a truck also. He took from him a truck to schlep Ayin Esach. Everything that he gets paid for the rental of the truck is also bano. This part is not a chiddush. Schlepping Ayin Esach, having his chamor schlep Ayin Esach, should be the same din. The end of the Mishnah is a little bit of a chiddush. Schor alei shevaleo. Let's say the goy rented the chamor, not to shlep yai nesach. He's riding the chamor. The goy is renting his chamor. Afal bishen yichayv kecham leginoy, even though he took with him his personal barrel of yai nesach olel, not that he rented it for shlep yai nesach. He rented it for his personal usage. Part of his personal usage is he's going to go with the supply of Gatorade, except it's not Gatorade, it's yai nesach. Schora muter, because the payment wasn't on carrying the wine, even though you know that that's part of his thing, but it's for the riding itself. B'chi agam, that's muter, that's the chiddush here.